Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the Monroe City Council meeting for December 1st of 2015. Pam, will you call the roll, please? I was going to say Ms. Smootin.
Council members present and establishing a quorum are Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Gearing.
Thank you. We have not yet heard from Councilmember Hanford, so I'd imagine he's just running late. Oh, he's just walking in. So please let the record show that Councilmember Hanford is here as well. Councilmember Camp, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, without objection, I'd like to move the public hearing and the announcements and presentations on the agenda so that the announcements and presentation from the Downtown Monroe Association comes first. Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and make that adjustment to the agenda this evening. And so we do have the Monroe Downtown Association, I'm sorry, the Downtown Monroe Association here to present. And
we're going to do it now?
Yes, we're going to do it now.
I thought you were moving
us. Ms. Forth, please come on up and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Diane Forth, 12926 200th Avenue Southeast, Monroe, Washington, 92272.
Thank you. And I'm going to say something. We are being recorded right now, just so that the recording knows we've been working on some technical difficulties with the LCD projector.
Yeah.
It's just moving off.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you. And you
want to
do the second one?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening. And as you already heard, my name is Diane Forth. I'm the president of the Downtown Monroe Association, also known as the DMA. We very much appreciate you inviting us here this evening. We can give you an outline of our goals, our mission statement, our progress to date. The DMA formed in August of this year. We're just 3 months old. And in that time, we have spent the majority of those 3 months on infrastructure for the DMA, getting the pieces together to form a strong organization. The citizens of, the DMA is formed of citizens and business and property owners. I'll be introducing our board members that are here this evening, as well as Brianne Durham, who is the Main Street Program Coordinator for the State of Washington. We prepared this PowerPoint for you showing our progress, and at the end of the presentation, we welcome any questions. We're going to be reporting to the City Council quarterly, and this is our first event. Our mission statement is to enhance the historic charm of downtown Monroe while encouraging diverse commerce, tourism, and increased sense of community utilizing a national Main Street approach. There we go. To succeed, the Downtown Monroe Association must show visible results of completed projects. We have a couple of short-term projects that some of you probably seen, hopefully everybody has seen. We planted 11 donated birch trees along Main Street, and we owe a great deal of gratitude to Mike Farrell and his crew for moving the 11 newly donated planters that we needed put next to the electrified bollards so that we could light the trees. Mike worked with us throughout the entire process in placement, as well as giving us advice as to how they would best be taken care of. And the Downtown Monroe Association is actually going to be taking care of the trees and the planting surrounding. The city, I understand, will do watering when watering is necessary. Obviously, that's not going to be until next summer sometime. The trees will be in the pots for approximately 2 to 3 years. When they have gone to the point where we need to move them out of the pots, we would like to donate them to the city in some fashion, whether it be in a park or in one of the housing areas. That's to be discussed as we get to that point. And you're going to have to excuse me, because this is my first presentation to not only this city council, but to any city council. I know the nerves are showing a little bit, and I'm glad you laughed, because that makes me feel better. The other things that we've done at this point was to light up Main Street and part of Lewis. We felt very strongly that to give the city the warmth and welcoming appearance that we would like to have, so that people coming into town would like to come back, that this was a necessary piece. We used high-efficiency LED bulbs, which were all donated by the DMA members. We had a great team wrapping all the lampposts and the trees, which included some of the city council members and, well, one city council member and the mayor, and we were very grateful for that. The holiday window painting, I don't know if any of you noticed that, but there's some on the Doloff building and a couple of the other places, in the storefronts. Terry Weigel donated her time, talents, and paint to do this. This morning, students from the Monroe Montessori painted on, with their handprints, a Christmas tree on the west side of the Doloff building, one of the big windows. And the kids had a great time. It was a fun project, and we were very appreciative of the Montessori taking part of that. The next short-term event at this point, hopefully it will be something that will continue on, is a caroling event on December 12th from 3 to 5 in the downtown core. Right now it is set for a strolling event, and we have two groups of 6th and 7th graders from Park Place Middle that will be participating. We have now interest from another group of children. We don't know exactly how that's going to pan out. If it will, hopefully it will. If it's bad weather, we're going to have a stationary place for them to do this. But we like the fact that the kids will be involved. Long term, let me go through this again. Long term, we look at different things that we can do, such as doorway design, alleyway improvement, possibly a flagpole tree, sign design guidelines, things that will impact the city and the downtown core for many years to come. We also hope to light up much more of Monroe within the next year on the buildings themselves, only the participation of the building owners. We want people drawn into the center of town. We want people that are driving down Highway 2 to maybe notice out of the corner of their eye all the lights down and want to come down and see what's happening. We're also going to be working with the Monroe Arts Council and the Chamber, as well as the city, on the arts project that is going to be happening. Very excited about that. And we are really heartfelt want to facilitate in any way we can more retail stores downtown. Right now we have a lot of service, which are wonderful, but we'd like to have some more retail shops downtown. Okay. I'm ready. Sorry. Okay.
Now,
this is our new logo, which was designed by the husband of one of our board members. This is what he does for a living. We're extremely grateful that we have such a professional piece. I think all of you have seen, because I believe all this was sent to you electronically, everything that's in blue are things that have already been completed in the last 3 months. Everything in green are projects that are in progress. Everything in black are things that we have planned, ideas that we would like to implement. As far as this last 3 months, they've been extraordinary with filing for our 501c3, which is pending, our vision and mission statements, membership applications, board orientation, as you can see, on and on. The thing that I find most exciting is our collaboration with the Chamber. We've met with Mike Buse on a couple of occasions. We want to work together with the Chamber. We don't want to work in opposition in any way. It doesn't mean that we're still, you know, separate entities, but Mike is very much in favor of doing this, so it's a good match. The budget, right now we are completely self-funded. I'm not asking you for money, so that's okay. But we are completely self-funded at this point, and it's going to be some time before we have any kind of large amounts of funds coming in. We're reliant right now on memberships and on donations. In 2016, we are going to be applying for grants that we are eligible for, and we will continue asking for private funding. Currently, the difference between having to raise funds before developing DME programs versus concentrating on developing a program that is funded will impact the type of and number of projects that we can accomplish. So it's a little bit daunting, but we have a tremendous group of citizens who are very committed to this group and to this town. In the far right column, ongoing updates, we continue with the fundraising and the grants, of course. But within 1 year, we will need to find a full-time executive director. That is part of what Washington Main Street requires for membership. And we can apply for that in November of 2017. We can't apply before that. They have a 2-week window each year. This year, we weren't ready. And we don't want to do things that we're not ready for. It doesn't make a lot of sense. We're also working on web page development, and there are, again, banners, things like that we have to produce in order to, what's the word I'm using, to advertise what we're doing and where we are. In projects, this is the design. We did added the trees to the hardscape, which will soften the look of the town and produce just more softness to the look. It doesn't, when your eye stops at the telephone post at this point or the lamp post, the trees help soften that. Talked about that. And again, my apologies for not being as succinct here as I would like to be. In the far right right-hand column, we have different projects that we would, our potentials, seasonal window display contest, streetscape doorways, all these things that will help make the town pop a little bit more. Facade grants, including signs, directional signage from Highway 2. I've talked to the Chamber about that already. We've had a meeting. Events. We're going to be very cautious about how we do events and how many we do so that what we do is done well. We're not going to do more than one or two events a year until we have more experience so that they're done, like I said, done well. So these are just simply ideas that have been pulled from other sources such as Pinterest, things that other towns are doing to make an impact and to make a difference in what we're doing. One of the things that we've talked about were bike clinics. There used to be a bike shop here in town, and it's gone. We have enough volunteers probably around town. I know my husband happens to be one. He doesn't know he's volunteering yet, but he will. who is excellent with bikes. He's ridden over 150,000 miles on his bike. And he's helped all of the kids in our neighborhood, teaching them how to repair their bicycles. So it would be wonderful to have a clinic in the springtime, let the kids come in, help them tune up their bikes, and help teach them what to do. So that's just one of the things that we were looking at. Right now, since I'm doing such a stellar job, I want to introduce, and they're laughing at me, I want to introduce our board members that are here, Teresa Dillard, Jackie Kiter, Aaron Angustafka, and Paul Graff. And I want to introduce, that was it, right? And I want to introduce Brianne Durham, thank you, from Main Street. She's here as well. So if you have any questions, feel free. I may not be able to answer them, but somebody here may be able to.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Council, do you have any questions or comments? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. No questions, Diane, but I actually just want to applaud you and your team for taking this on. I mean, this is a tall order to take on, and what you've accomplished in 3 months is pretty incredible. So kudos to you and your team for what you're doing.
Councilmember Hanford, when you are up here.
Thank you.
Yep.
We've emailed back and forth.
Yeah.
But
tonight
was okay. I'm excited that, just to echo what Councilmember Rasmussen said, excited to see people taking this on and running with it. So we're excited to do what we can to help as a council.
Hopefully next quarter's report will be smoother than tonight's.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
My question is just a love fest tonight. I really appreciate you being here. I'm very excited about the future, and as Councilman Hanford just said, that there's a lot accomplished in 3 months, and I can't wait to see what's next and to plug in more in the months to come. It's looking really nice downtown.
Okay, and I'm just going to echo what they've already said, the council members have already said. You all have been doing a great job. I met with Ms. Forth, with Diane, back in August, late August, and within 2 weeks or less, all of you started meeting, in addition to other folks, and you've done an enormous amount of work in our downtown. To the point where, you know, seeing the Doloff Key building, having the participation from that building owner to be able to see the handprints and the painting on the windows there is just remarkable. It's awesome. So thank you very much, and I look forward to continuing to see the work and seeing how we can continue to partner. Thank you very much. Yes.
I'm really done.
Nice job.
Nice job, man.
Thank you.
Okay, so we now have a need for an executive session. The executive session is pursuant to RCW 4230.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, potential litigation, for approximately 10 minutes, and we will need to remain in this room for that. So we're in exec session for about 10 minutes.
Okay, we're back in.
Okay, we're back in from executive session, and we're moving on now to public hearing item number one. This is AB 15-209, public hearing for the 2015 comprehensive plan. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, the purpose of this public hearing is to take testimony on the draft 2015-2035 comprehensive plan that has been worked on during the course of at least the last 2 years. And my presentation will be somewhat brief because you as a councilor have seen it, but I also want to make sure that anyone in the audience that has not been following the process has a good sense of at least what the comprehensive plan is and what the contents might be. And I also, very quickly, depending on who's still here, invited the Planning Commission, and there are members of the Planning Commission here tonight, Chair Christensen, Vice Chair Tuttle, Commissioner Wohl, and Commissioner Jensen, and we did advertise this as a special meeting in terms of the Planning Commission might actually have a quorum here tonight. And I just want to say, I know that the City Council has said thank you many, many times to the Planning Commission, but I'm going to take this opportunity to say thank you to the Planning Commission as well, because they have done wonderful work, and I really appreciate all the time and effort that they put into this. And at the conclusion of my presentation, I'm going to give Chair Christensen just an opportunity to say a few words to the City Council as well. The Planning Commission timeline, and when I go through this, you'll understand why I say thank you to the Planning Commission. Obviously, the work on the comprehensive plan started several years ago, but the Planning Commission timeline, as we get into some of the more recent events, the draft plan and the integrated EIS was released on April 3rd, 2015. There was a 60-day comment period on the EIS, a 60-day comment period for state agencies to comment on the document as well. During that 60-day period, the Planning Commission held a public hearing on April 20th. To garner additional public comment. They continued that to May 4th, and they continued that again to May 11th. And they closed the public hearing for testimony on May 11th. And between May of 2015 and October of 2015, the Planning Commission met for about 18 times. And in doing the math, there's 6 months between May and October, 18 meetings, that's 3 meetings a month. That's a lot of work on behalf of the Planning Commission for this particular item. In terms of the testimony that took place before the Planning Commission, in general, there wasn't much. There were approximately five people testified in person. There were approximately five comment letters. In the packet that you have is the Planning Commission minutes from those 3 meetings when the actual public hearing was continued, and you should also have all the written comments that were received during the course of that time period as well. And if you're very interested in the process, Appendix C to the comprehensive plan actually takes you back to the very beginnings of the public process. So that's a summary of the entire public process, the workshops, the studios, the meetings with stakeholders, and that's all summarized in Appendix C. And then ultimately, on October 19th of 2015, the Planning Commission culminated its work with the recommendations of the City Council, and it approved findings. Those findings you have as well. And obviously, the documents that you've been provided, the hard copies, reflect the Planning Commission recommendation as of October 19th. What's in the comprehensive plan? We've talked about there's 10 chapters to the comprehensive plan, starting from the introduction, the vision and policy framework. We spent a lot of time talking about the vision and policy framework and how the Planning Commission integrated all of the policies and all the goals in the vision statement within one chapter for ease of use. And that includes the vision statement, 8 goals, over 200 policies, and 24 action items. Those terms, action items, policies, and goals, are actually defined within the comprehensive plan. If anyone wants to see, they can look at page 2-5 and get a sense of what those particular items are. The land use chapter includes the future land use map, how future growth and development, how the city envisions future growth and development to occur within the city. Chapter 4, transportation element. There's an economic development element that has 6 economic development strategies for the city, including develop a thriving downtown. There's discussion about making Monroe a great place to start and operate a business. The housing element, the parks and recreation and open space element, which we talked a little bit about last week. And while I'm on that topic, there were a couple unanswered questions, so let me get at those real quickly. I believe one of the questions was, and actually I have Director Farrell here to back me up on this one, so because he wasn't here last week. One of the questions was, how does Cadman fit into the parks inventory? And to the extent that the city does not own that property yet, it's not. Which is actually good, because that means if the city acquires it, it could be part of that acquisition towards meeting your acreage over time. And the second question, I believe Councilmember Gehring asked, was, now how do we deal with future park needs in our annexation area? and the Parks and Recreation and Open Space actually does what just about every parks plan, I think, does, which is does an assessment of need across the entire community, finds where there's gaps for needs for parks. And in the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space plan, it actually identifies the annexation area as an area that's a high priority for future need. But it doesn't identify specific properties. It just says we have a need here that needs to be addressed over time. And what the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space plan and all these other functional plans help do is that should the city get in a position where it might want to annex or have a request to annex clear properties, you have that document to have a good sense of what your capital facilities needs would be in that area to kind of develop some cost estimates about whether or not you want to pursue annexation. So the Parks plan does pretty much what every Parks plan does in terms of assessing need throughout the entire urban growth area. This one does that as well. Capital facilities and utilities being private utilities, so there's discussion about private utilities serving the city. Shorelines and natural environment, just a summary of the shoreline code, the natural environment, the critical areas. There's maps in there that identify critical areas like wetlands and streams throughout the entire city. And then finally, there's an implementation element that just says, okay, this is how we're going to move forward, and this is what a comprehensive plan is, and how it can be used, and how things can be implemented within the document. The asterisks reflect those certain chapters or elements that are required by the Growth Management Act, land use, housing, capital facilities, utilities, and transportation. There's 8 appendices to the comprehensive plan. State Environmental Policy Act documentation, that's the environmental impact statement work that supports the environmental analysis for the comprehensive plan. There's an acronym, abbreviations, and definition sections in Appendix B. I talked about the update process, that's summarized in Appendix C. The transportation plan, and that's the detailed work and study and assessments and inventory work that supports the transportation chapter. Same thing with the economic development strategy. Well, we talked about that at a briefing. What's the market like here in Monroe? What's the demographics like? And that's all of the detailed information is contained in the economic development strategy. And that outlines those 6 strategies for economic development within the community, which are also talked about in the economic development chapter. Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan, again, all the detailed inventory work, the needs assessment, the workshop results, the survey results, and that's summarized in the Parks and Recreation and Open Space chapter of the plan. Capital facilities, discussion about public services, fire district, police services, municipal buildings, and utilities. And then Appendix H, the water, sewer, and stormwater plans, and that's about 1,000 pages between all 3 of those plans. The very technical information about how those utilities will function during the course of the next 20 years. And we talked about formatting a little bit. The Planning Commission spent a lot of time on formatting, and I know I've gone through this slide before, but I'd be remiss in just not acknowledging the work of the Planning Commission. Within Chapter 2, there's 8 goals. Every one of those goals is supported by a series of policies. I believe this is the policies that support the housing goal. And what the Planning Commission asked is that you can go to Chapter 2 and get a sense of what this community is all about and what the important policy issues are. The policies are cross-referenced to different chapters of the comprehensive plan. So on this one page, you'll see the policies that support the goal, which isn't shown, but the housing goal. And you can see how those individual policies actually have some interrelationship to different chapters within the plan.
Just a second. Councilmember Gamble.
Actually, it was several slides back when you were answering the question that was left over from before on the Cadman property.
Oh, okay.
I was just, so it's not a part currently. So how many acres is it when it?
It is, the entire property is, it's a 204-acre site. However, 37 acres of it, Cadman is going to retain as their concrete batch plant.
Okay.
So that leaves approximately 167 acres, of which at the most, maybe 40 acres would be developable, you know, due to the river and wetlands.
But that would put us at 75, if I remember. With 40 plus the 35 that were not developed, that were developable already in the. I'm just trying to get an idea compared. I'm doing it from memory, but because we're trying to get to.
If anything, yeah, this property would meet the need over.
Right, that one property would meet
that
the need.
Sort of paper. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's what I was. Yeah. Thanks.
So I want to spend just a few minutes talking about the ordinances that were provided to you actually tonight, and that's why I want to spend a little bit of time summarizing those ordinances and what they contain. Primarily, Well, I'll focus on both ordinances. So there's two ordinances, Ordinance 021-2015, Ordinance 022-2015, and in tandem, they would constitute the comprehensive plan update process. Ordinance number 021-2015, that would adopt the 2015-2035 comprehensive plan as presented to you or as amended by the City Council, should you decide to amend certain features of the comprehensive plan. Ordinance 022-2015 responds to a recent City Council action. And last week, the City Council passed Ordinance 15-2015 related to the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Map Amendment. And during the course of your consideration of the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Amendment and the rezone, I believe I was asked the question, well, how does this relate to the comprehensive plan that's currently being worked on? And my response was, depending on what the council policy direction was on the plan amendment, whether it was to approve it or not approve it, the proposed comprehensive plan would need to reflect that. So ordinance number 022-2015 does some housekeeping changes to basically reflect the policy direction of the City Council in approving the comprehensive plan amendment for East Monroe last week. So going to the actual ordinance that adopts the comprehensive plan in general, 021-2015, what would be the exhibits to that particular ordinance obviously would be the draft comprehensive plan, consisting of the 10 chapters and 8 appendices, the Planning Commission findings. They developed findings and presented those findings to the City Council. Those findings were approved by the City by the Planning Commission on October 19th, and those would be part of the ordinance adopting the entire comprehensive plan. And then what's also important is that ultimately that ordinance would include the City Council findings. So based on your discussion and deliberation on the comprehensive plan, as you consider these the comments and your potential changes to the comprehensive plan, staff would develop those findings, and those would be included as part of the Exhibit C to the Ordinance 21-2015. The ordinance that has been presented to you that deals with the issue of the East Monroe plan map amendment would have exhibits as well. And there would be 3 exhibits to that ordinance, and they're actually included in the ordinance that you have tonight. One would be, and I'll go through these because I actually have a graphic illustrating each one of these. One would be to Chapter 3, to the future land use map. The second would be to Chapter 2, the vision and policy framework. There's a plan concept diagram in Chapter 2 that needs to be amended as a housekeeping item. And then, again, going back to Chapter 3, there's actually a table with land use designations, and that needs to be amended as well, and I'll explain that. But just in general, the approach that the comprehensive plan, the proposed comprehensive plan took for the East Monroe property, it had it identified as a study area, and it acknowledged and recognized that while the comprehensive plan process was going on for the new comprehensive plan, that there was this other activity or action going on with the hearings board, and that there needed to be some resolution to the hearings board, and it anticipated that there might be or would be a reclassification of that property over time, but not recognizing when that time might be, it set that aside as a study area, and it's kind of crosshatched on the future land use map. And so the first exhibit to this particular ordinance, this is East Monroe right here. Red is general commercial, and so it would change the future land use map from limited open space to the red general commercial. Then in Chapter 2, at the very end of Chapter 2, there's this plan concept diagram. The draft plan is pretty clear that this plan concept diagram is not regulatory, it's not a statement of policy, it's just an expression of here are 5 areas within the city, here are strategies within those 5 areas, and just kind of describes those, but it's not intended whatsoever to supersede the authority of the future land use map that I showed previously. But on this map, currently this area, the East Monroe area, was identified as parks, open space, and so this map is being changed to commercial. And then, okay, recognizing this might be hard to read, this is the actual table that's being amended. That's still hard to read. That's the right-hand side of the table. But in the land use description or classification or land use designations table within the land use element, this is that discussion about the East Monroe study area where it basically recognized that there was some activity or action going on with the Growth Management Hearings Board that still needed to be resolved. And it identified the East Monroe properties with a crosshatch basically saying that's still going on, but this plan process is going on. And so to the extent that the City Council is taking action on East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Amendment, this language is no longer necessary or needed in the proposed comprehensive plan, therefore struck out. And obviously when the plan's printed, that will be gone. So for now at least, later on the agenda, the council action, you have two ordinances, 021-2015 and 022-2015. Both are identified for first reading. And for ordinance 21-2015 only, which is the adoption of the broader comprehensive plan, you would just direct staff to prepare findings based on your city council discussion. And that actually concludes my presentation, but I'm going to take a few minutes just to introduce Chair Christensen from the Planning Commission just to say a few words about the Planning Commission activity.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Bill Christensen. I live at 17698 136 Place Southeast, Monroe, Washington, 98272. I'm not used to speaking in front of people, so I'll try to keep this as brief as I can. Planning Commission, when we started this project, one of the things that we got in front of us right off the bat was the goals and policies portion. And so we took that and made that an emphasis to start off with as far as coming up with what we're going to do with this document, this thing. The Planning Commission has done, you know, you've heard it from David, you've heard it from other people, I'm sure they've done a heroic amount of work on this document. Once we got through the goals and policies and trying to get everything, you know, kind of barreled down, get it down into an edible form, you know, because it was just a monster before we started. At least it looked like a monster to us. So we got that going, and then we started on the chapters, and that's where it wasn't hard work, but it was a lot of tedious work, taking sometimes sentence by sentence and just tearing them apart and trying to make sense of it. Our main goal there was to make the document so that anybody that comes into Monroe or is a Monroe resident can open up that document and find things easily, understand it. It doesn't have a lot of flowery language in it. It's just a nice, readable document. That was one of the biggest goals that we had, was making sure that people can read it, they can understand it, and it makes sense. So that's where we met. And again, if it wasn't for the people on the Planning Commission and also for staff, for their help and direction, we wouldn't be here today. We would still try to be getting this thing in line. So thank you to the City Council for your support, making sure that we had the resources that we needed to get it done. And hopefully it's in a good enough shape that we can just take it and run with it. So, again, thank you. Thank you, Planning Commissioners and staff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that concludes the presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Hey, before we open the public hearing, are there any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. Ms. Baker.
Thank you.
Okay, the first person that we have signed up to speak this evening on the public hearing is Mr. Will Anderson. Mr. Anderson, will you please come forward and state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
Hello.
comments are over 5 minutes long, so I've made a written statement, which I'll submit when I'm done. And my my comments are going to be on the Monroe City Council findings and conclusions, East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Amendment, and Zoning Map Amendment. With that, you can go ahead and start. I see you have, so I'm not behind the eight ball. And I'm unalterably opposed to all of the above. I'm frustrated and saddened that the city lacked leadership by allowing the property owner's attorney to conduct and control the FSEIS. Pace Engineering submitted a non-valid map document to me because it does not have the minimum requirements required for a valid document. I itemized these requirements at November 10, 2015 council meeting and submitted the map as evidence to the council. Watershed Science and Engineering used this non-valid information as the basis for their study. WASE attempted to show compensatory flood storage was reduced to make 10 acres of the floodplain developable. They needed to artificially raise the elevation by using LIDAR and lowering the FEMA-based elevation of 67 feet to 65.35 feet based on a flood rise study, which they could not do without FEMA approval or the city approval. Additionally, it's in conflict with the MMC code, which Pace claimed they were to follow. Next, WSE made a flood rise study. However, LIDAR was too inaccurate, so they needed a conventional survey. Note, LIDAR is great for compensatory flood storage, but no good for the WSE study. Vegetation affects the accuracy of LIDAR. Remember, the property has not been farmed since 2009 and has tall vegetation. The cornerstone of WSE study stated no hydraulic connection to the old river course, now called an oxbow, to the Skycomish River at the eastern culvert. Wednesday, November 18, 2015, the river flowed its old course through the eastern culvert area. We documented this happening with photographic and observation evidence. It flooded. WSE used 64,000 cubic feet per second in their study. The November 18, 2015 high water recorded 100,000 cubic feet per study and was not the highest recorded Skycomish River flood. WSE study is flawed and should not be used by the City of Monroe as the best available science. We will provide additional evidence as time permits for shooting this. Because the WSE study is flawed, this negatively impacts geoengineering's opinion. By the city approving the flawed FSEIS rezone and comprehensive plan amendment and zoning map, they are putting adjacent hillside homeowners and the city at risk. Think also. This property has been on the market for many years as limited open space and general commercial. Please consider the four P's of marketing. Product, price, promotion, and place. Product. 43 acres with only 10 acres of developable but subject to flood and extensive permit study and fill. Price, approximately $28 a square foot compared to North Kelsey at $17 a square foot, not competitive. Promotion, see Wallace Realty website. Place, along a 55-mile-an-hour highway, SR2, nicknamed the Highway of Death. This is a non-project rezone and it looks like it will remain just that, non-project. Please consider that rezoning this property, you effectively devalue all homes on the ridge adjacent to the property plus the homes across the street. In closing, other deficient items of the FSEIS and comp plan amendment will be addressed by other opponents. The burden of the proof is on the city. We question how much the Growth Management Hearing Board should rely on the FSEIS, given that the preparer had a financial interest in ensuring a positive outcome. Thank you for your attention. I'll submit my total written document at this time.
Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you,
Planning Commission.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to come forward to speak this evening about the public hearing for the 2015 comprehensive plan? Okay. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Get my stuff out of the way. I did it in 5 minutes, too.
You did?
Under 5 minutes.
4 minutes?
Yeah, that's money on the table. This is per 23811 SR2 Monroe. As you know, I'm opposed to the rezone. I said, I've lived here my entire life. I was born on a piece of property. On Highway 2, I've lived there my whole life and raised my family there, too. So we worked real hard 2 weeks ago, and as you saw, there was probably 70-plus people out in this waiting room against this. And they all walked out of here wondering, we made no difference. We made absolutely no difference at all. But as we had gone around to different business owners in town, just candidly talking to people, they all were against this, but they said to us, well, you know, good luck. The city council's never listened to us in our endeavors. I didn't want to believe them. But that night showed all those 70 people here that you really didn't care about their opinions at all, because I thought you were elected to represent the citizens and not just one person and maybe one person's gain. Whether you realize it or not, everyone out there on Highway 2 is worried sick about this. We're worried about our livelihood. We're worried about our families. We're worried about the next generation. The Blair family, there's 6th-generation babies in that house. What gives just 4 of you the right and the one property owner to potentially change all of our lifestyles out there? The Gruenfeld family, they open up their farm. They're 4th-generation farmers. They open up their farm to teach 4-H and FFA kids. One of the few farms in the entire state. The amount of time that Anna and Chris spend with young people to try to instill the values of farming and community in these young people is amazing. I mean, they need to be commended. The hours it takes away just from their own life and from their own family to try to share this with their kids and with the community of Monroe and Sultan, too. I think we were all a little bit hurt or shocked to hear you say, if we owned that property, we'd be doing the same thing. That is about as far from the truth as you could get. If we really, truly felt that way, we would all be here. All those people would have been testifying in favor of this because we'd be wanting to jump on the bandwagon and hoping that it would move closer so we could rezone ours commercial. That is so not true. That's the farthest thing that we want, all of us out there on Highway 2 and the farmers. I say, it's like, if you really think we would all do that, then you don't understand the integrity of the American farmer. And I don't think you understand the integrity of the majority of the people in Monroe. Whether it's the old-timers that have lived here and are 80 years old, or people my age, 60 years old, we're here for a reason, and we've stayed here to raise our families in this beautiful valley. You can't deny that there's a natural boundary as you leave Monroe heading out Highway 2, and if you can go out there. And I don't know how you can look at me, because nobody will really say. There's 3 of you that will admit that there's no consistency. It's not compatible. But I really, truly would. I want the other 4 of you to look me in the eye and say, just answer this one simple question. Do you really believe this rezone is compatible with the adjoining properties? That is supposed to be one of the guidelines. And that is, to me, just the most simple, common sense thing. Look at it. And can you really tell us tonight that this is compatible and consistent with the adjacent land uses? So, and as far as even the card for the meeting 2 weeks ago, it came out to all of us the day after. You know, again, we only had 7 days instead of the 15, and look at the turnout we got. Everybody I run into in town is so disappointed. They're disappointed in you, and they feel like their opinion doesn't matter. So those are what I would just like everyone to answer that one simple question for me tonight. Is it compatible? That's just one question. The other questions that all these people brought up is how will it enhance our life? You know, and us out there on Highway 2 that are farmers, we want to know how that's going to embrace and enhance our agricultural endeavors. I mean, it's hard enough to move our farm equipment around out there as it is with trailers and tractors and try to farm and try to keep our income coming in. Business owners want to know how will it enhance their business. They don't understand it either, at least not the ones I've talked to. So even that night, there were farmers here that ran out of here after they testified. They got home in their barns, there were water in their barns, but they still made that effort because they felt like it was important for you to hear how it's going to impact our lives out there. And honestly, they ran out. One farmer, it was 10 feet from their house. If they had stayed much longer, they wouldn't even made it back to the barns to check on their animals. So I had someone else drive all the way in on Ben Howard. They knew it was going to flood. They couldn't get in here to testify that night. She drove all the way in that day. It meant that much to her Tuesday to get a letter, and that was the one letter I submitted, because they've been a business owner here in Monroe for over 20 years.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up.
So I would just ask you, like I said, it does impact the livelihood of many, many people, both farmers and business owners in the area. And it impacts our next generation, because there is a domino effect. Once you open up and come out that way, like I said, it just will be devastating for the farmers and a lot of people in the area. So thank you for your time, and thank you to the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak on the 2015 Comprehensive Plan update? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to council. Councilmember Gehring.
Yeah, I would like to move to continue the public testimony portion of the Comprehensive Plan public hearing to next week.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Cutaback to continue the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing for the 2015 Comprehensive Plan update to next week, December 8th. Thank you. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda this evening. That agenda item is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matters subject to a public hearing. Testimony is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. We do have a sign-up sheet. Mr. Jensen, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Steve Jensen. I live at 17041 155th Street Southeast here in Monroe. For the record, I am a member of the Planning Commission. I am not here making comments on that behalf. I'm here as a private citizen with my comments. I maybe came here because of the comprehensive plan action today, and just wanted to be present with that in case you had any other questions. But when I looked at the agenda, I see something that caught my eye, and I went and looked at all the paperwork. And that's, you're going to be dealing with a lobbying firm selection later tonight. And there was one thing that caught my eye. I don't know how all of your discussions have been going, how you're leaning. The only indication I have of how you're leaning is in the paper. There was some sort of score chart, and it looked like Armstrong and Associates was edging out the green light strategies by a couple of points or something. If you're leaning towards Armstrong, then my comments would probably be ignored. If there's further discussion about green light, then I wanted to question what I saw on page 10 of your worksheet, the block of stuff for this section. It talks about the compensation for green light. And I understand what I'm seeing. This is part of their application that's now part of your records, the public record or the city record that you're considering following, as is the similar part of the attachment for Armstrong and Associates. So if there's a mistake here, to me that suggests it's stuck in the record that way. It can't just be brushed off or changed. What I'm seeing here is a suggestion that they would be charging their monthly fee backdated to last July. So if you were to in fact choose Greenlight and take their proposal, you would instantly owe them $24,000 to cover for the rest of this year by the time, because I think this is planned to be effective by end of December, start January. So that was my main comment tonight, was if this is further consideration for Greenlight, it looks like there's a mistake that cost the city $24,000 for no purposes based on the way their proposal was written and submitted to the city, and I believe sort of locked in as it is. But again, I don't fully understand that part of the process. But that was my comment. From what I've seen and from what I've heard prior to tonight, be in favor of Armstrong and Associates group being the lobbyists for the city. So if that helps any opinion. That's my opinion, my personal feelings towards that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak? Mr. Scarborough? Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Good evening. Kurt Scarborough, 127 East Ridmond Drive, Monroe. I have two subjects that have a question for you. On the H3O subject, I'd like to know if you've asked the citizens of Monroe if they want an H3O park here. I think you could put a flyer in the water bills and ask this question. Not, do you want a wakeboard park, but do you want Lake Ty as your wakeboard park? My question to you is, what's next? You're going to put a gate and an admittance price on the skateboard park? You're going to put a gate and an admittance price on the tennis courts? What's next? That lake belongs to the citizens of Monroe, and I think you're selling it. I'm your lobbyist. I understand you're going to pick a lobbyist tonight. I'd like to ask if you have vetted those candidates thoroughly. Have you done background investigations on those people? Both of them. If you haven't, I think that should be done before you do a pick. And those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other
member of the public that would like to come forward to speak this evening during citizen comment? Mr. Wall, please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. I'm Brian Wall, Green Light Strategies, located right here in Monroe at 190301 Place Southeast, Monroe 98272. Just as you consider the lobbying firm for later tonight, I want you to consider a couple things. One is certainly, as we both firms you have in front of you tonight know how to navigate Olympia, know the halls of Olympia, know their way around, and are going to be effective. A couple of things I do want you to urge you to consider is, one, nobody knows Monroe like we do and the issues, and you're going to be passionately advocating for the issues that you care about. And two, I think perhaps have a little more experience on local government issues, particularly the issues that we in local government care about and work on, like community and economic development, transportation infrastructure, comprehensive planning and land uses. I know and I can appreciate as a council member in Mount Terrace and on the Planning Commission for 14 years, know how much work your Planning Commission put into going through all of this, and I appreciate the burden in front of you having to consider that over the next, I think, couple of weeks of this first hearing tonight. So you're going to be continuing it on. A lot of work goes into that. I appreciate that. But I'm intimately familiar with those types of issues and have a lot of experience lobbying on those types of issues. So would look forward to representing you and advocating for your interests in Olympia on those things. The other thing I encourage you to take a look at is, you know, we really have, you have two different proposals in front of you. One is, and we both, like I say, are able to represent you effectively in Olympia on issues, but we offer a couple of other things I encourage you to take a look at. One is a comprehensive approach to government affairs and really bringing forward a lot of additional advocacy work and engaging other stakeholders in the process to help you advocate for your issues that are important. And the other thing is helping you and being having a voice here in Snohomish County and in the Puget Sound region. I have a lot of connections, obviously, working with Snohomish County Council, the county, Snohomish County in general, Snohomish County Government, Economic Alliance, Snohomish County, and also a representative on the Economic Puget Sound Regional Council. So a number of different things that we can help you with in a number of additional ways with the contract. I encourage you to consider that as you look at that later tonight. Thank you.
All right, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak on any issue related to the City of Monroe? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Camp?
Move to accept the consent agenda.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Cutterback to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. The next item on our agenda is unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number 1, AB 15211, second addendum to the... Okay, so this is the second addendum to the concessionaire and property use agreement with H3O for cable wakeboard park at Lake Ty Park. This has been moved to next week. Would you like to give an update?
I can just let council know that between H3O, city attorney, and myself, and Brad as well, we worked hard on this to try and get it done, but because of the holidays, it just wasn't going to happen. So it's currently in H3O's attorney's hands. I just want to thank everybody for their work, and we should have it ready to go for next week.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item under unfinished business. This is item number 2, AB 15-2012, lobbying firm selection. And who's got this? Is this Eugene?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is a continuation of the selection process. The last time we talked about this was on November 10th when the City Council held interviews. This evening, the rest of the process will continue with some deliberation between council members and then selection of a consultant and direction to city staff to finalize a contract, utilizing the city attorney to put in place. There was a comment about the proposed wages. Obviously, those are old submittals that came in the middle of the summer when these this process started, so we would work with the selected consultant to finalize the fees that would be charged, and council would agree to that prior to, of course, the contract went in place.
Thank you. Councilmember Guerin.
Thanks. I just want to say thanks to the two parties that threw their names in the hat. Good to have, certainly have a choice and some things to compare. Interesting to see the scores from council. Certainly interesting to see those. Again, really appreciate the experience that both sides bring. A lot of really good experience. I was impressed in different areas with both what they brought to the table. Ultimately, I think we're at page 27, where's the score? There the scores are. It was very impressive both, but more impressive for me. I just want to talk a little bit about my thoughts on that. Hopefully we can certainly hear from other council members as well. When it comes down to it, to me, there's a very clear delineation between who actually wants this job and who doesn't. We've had presentations, but we've had a lot of follow-up, and it would seem to me that Greenlight is really advocating for our business. They really want our business. They're here to try and get it. They continue to be here. They follow up with email. When someone wants to be your lobbyist, that's the kind of behavior that I expect. I appreciate Mr. Armstrong. I don't know that we've heard from him since he came that night, which is a little disappointing from somebody who's, again, a ton of experience and great contacts and appreciated all the things that he had to say. I'm kind of wondering where he's been. When you're in sales and when you're hiring for sales, you're looking for someone, you know, if the person you want to hire isn't going to ask for the job or close the deal in the interview and the follow-up, they're not going to do it out in the field. And that's kind of the way that I see this here. Appreciate all the contacts. Appreciate all the great experience in Olympia. If you want a job, you got to ask for the job and you got to follow up for the job. And I just don't see that. To me, that really delineates it's kind of the customer service, kind of the things that we expect moving forward. I think secondly, there was just a couple things that red flags that bothered me a little bit in the interview process, and I wanted to kind of bring those apart, you know, a little bit from the, you know, the facts and what they will do for us, which both applicants did. But it's bad form to, no matter how subtle it is, to take what I felt was a personal shot at somebody. You just don't do that in an interview. I found that to be, while subtle, I found that to be unprofessional, and it's just a red flag for me. I don't appreciate it. You need to be able to sell what you're going to do for me. If you can't do that, then I think we can do that. From that standpoint, I appreciate the broad area that Greenlight brings, also Snohomish County, a lot of different contexts. But that's not to say Mr. Armstrong doesn't have a wide range of contacts in Olympia with a lot of experience, a lot of years serving, and I respect that. I want to make sure that that's clear. What I'm looking for is, you know, how someone's going to interact with me, is someone to convince me they're the right person to do the job, and because that's what they're going to be doing in Olympia, is people to sponsor bills or get funding for certain projects. see someone who wants the job who's going to close the deal, and then I see someone who hasn't, who I've heard from since then. So, which either means he doesn't really want it, or maybe thinks he already has it. I don't know, because I haven't heard. And from that standpoint, those are both negatives to me. Okay, so I want to make sure I'm clear. Tons of experience in Olympia, a lot of great contacts, a lot of years there, working across the island, and that's not lost. But we have that on the other side as well, and what seems to be more assertive, more active, and that's a person what I'm looking for in lobbyists, someone who's going to try and close the deal, folks here try to close the deal. So I definitely would be in support of Green Lane, so I look forward to hearing what the council members have to say.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I think Mr. Wall actually summed it up both, I think, in his comments by saying I think both firms can represent us well in Olympia. I have no doubt. I mean, both of them are experienced. As far as the follow-up is concerned, I mean, we spelled out the interview process. I get what you're saying on closing. I'd be here, too, if I scored lower when it was published. That's probably has something to do with it, because I think that coincided with when the document was published. Good move on your part. I'm saying that's not a good move, but I don't read into it in that regard in any way, shape, or form. We spelled out the interview process, and in the interview process, it's not in there that, you know, hey, you need to show up and show you really, 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 really want it. But not to saying it's not a good move, because it is. I've gone back and forth on this, quite a bit. Obviously, I scored a little harder, I found, compared to my peer group, and that's no reflection. I just, my baseline is, you answer a question, it's acceptable. It's either, acceptable or not, and if you're really, really good, that means that money's already raining from the coffers, but happy to get done with the answer. So that's no reflection. That's just, kind of how I score. I've done hundreds of interviews, and that's just always kind of where I've been. I have Mr. Armstrong slightly above, and I, personally feel that it would be good to have the representation to have someone, that's been there, as a representative for a while, and who has maybe a little bit of different view on things. I think you can look at it, in a couple different ways. There's no doubt that you're living here in the valley, that there's a connection to the issues, that sort of thing. But this is about hiring someone to advocate for us. They're going to be our issues, not the lobbyists' issues. So it's who do we feel is going to represent us best, and who might be able to give us maybe a different view on things. I kind of like the idea of having somebody from North Central Washington area maybe give us, we spent a lot of time, have a couple different ideas on things. It's no secret, though, before I moved here in 2003, so I was in North Central Washington when Mr. Armstrong was elected, so I know a little bit more about him, and I just had him slightly ahead. But that being said, like I said, Mr. Wall said it best. There's no doubt in my mind that they both could represent us. But I tilt to Mr. Armstrong. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I think we're all in agreement, or probably, that both firms would do a great job. Just to give you my perspective on it, because Councilor Gamble, Councilor Davis, and Councilor Rasmussen were not here for the actual interview process. And actually, I sat in your seat, Councilor Gamble, because they were showing something. And the reason that I was kind of turned off by the Armstrong Associates was because during the entire interview process, he never once looked me in the eye. I don't recall him ever looking anyone else in the eye. It's like his eyes were focused on the counter in front of us. And I couldn't believe it. And as the interview went on and on, he never once looked me in the eye. Now, he might have looked one of the other people up here in the eye, but I know when I interviewed for a council position to fill in, I believe it was for Councilor Rotello at the time, I looked everyone in the eye because I wanted you to believe in me. And so to me, that's just common sense. If you're doing an interview, you should be looking people in the eye as you give your explanation. That to some people, maybe that's not a big deal, but to me, that's a big deal. And especially if you're going to Olympia and you're going to be lobbying with different people. I like face-to-face. I think it shows respect. I think it shows honor to the people you're talking to. And so the three of you, you know, you weren't here, so you didn't catch all that. And so I wanted to explain to you why my scores are the way they are. And that was one of the main reasons. I agree with Councilor Gearing that, and, you know, to say that Armstrong's in the lead, and so, I mean, it's 1.4 out of 30 points, so it's not like there's this huge gap, you know, and if you're the behind one, you should be here, you know, speaking up or whatever. And that, I would do the same thing if I was behind. I mean, that's a good point, but we've heard from Green Light over and over again in emails. They've come and talked to us. They've come here. I don't know, Gene, has there been any response from Armstrong Associates?
There's not, to my knowledge, unless he reached out to a council member.
So he applied for a position, and he hasn't followed up once. And so that's concerning to me. If I apply for a position, I'm going to follow up. And so I don't know, like you said, I don't know why that has happened, but that's definitely a concern for me. So I want someone who wants the job to be representing our city. I think it makes sense. So that's why my scores are the way they are.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. What was that? Do you want the floor?
First, I want to thank the city staff for putting all this together. Great package. He answered a lot of my questions and put it in a format that even I could read as I'm shooting through all this documentation. I agree with most of the things I've heard up here tonight. I did score Armstrong higher when we did the initial interview. I give them credit for, or give Armstrong credit for the contacts they have in Olympia. I think that's very important. That was one of the things I was really looking for. I did score him down. This was kind of a hard thing to do. I scored him down because he really doesn't know Monroe. But I also thought we're going to give him the direction of where we want to go with Monroe. So Greenlight has more of a background than Monroe and can probably pick out issues that I may or may not be aware of. So that was the only area that I really had a difficult time in scoring the two sides. But looking over the information we got, the first note from Representative Christensen, where he's talking about the relationships with, and let's face it, we deal with two parties, where one person in Greenlight has access relationships with Democrats, another one has access relationships with Republicans. I don't care who we have to deal with, as long as we get basically what we want, like 522 done, which would be really great. The other point, and this is why I think follow-up is very important, we received an email why Monroe needs more than a solitary Olympia lobbyist. And one of the lines in here, Monroe needs year-round representation to the PSRC, AWC, Snohomish County, and the state legislature. I hope everyone up here is aware that we are going to have an enormous change at county government this year. I want Monroe to be forefront. I want us to be on county executive summer's number one list of things that we want to accomplish. And whoever is appointed, elected, whatever, for District Position 5, I also want us on the top of their list of things we want. That's why, though I supported Armstrong with their contacts, I really see that we can get more productive work. And I guess, and one more thing I'd like to add, this isn't what I expected. I hadn't even thought about, until I really had time to think about it, our access and impact with the county council. I want, in addition to the lobbying campaign, I want someone who's going to be able to go out there and look for opportunities that I may not be aware of, may not even be aware that's even possible, and bring it to us and say, why don't we try this venue, why don't we try going down this path? So that's why I'm supporting a green light. Thank you.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I don't intend to cut off discussion today, but I'm going to make a motion and then let everybody else go. I'm going to move to select Greenlight Strategies as a lobbying firm for City Monroe and direct staff to work with the selected firm on an agreement for these services to be brought back to council for approval prior to December 31st, 2014.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Hanford. Discussion on the motion.
And that's all I have.
So we have Councilmember Gamble.
I'm glad you brought up that email. I guess the one part that when I read that email, was not part of the RFP, it was lobbying for at the county level and that thing. So I mean, I'm sure they would do it out of the goodness of their heart. But I mean, there's a component of that when I read that I mean, I'm assuming that's an additional cost because the lobbying services that we're talking about are in Olympia. Is that not correct?
Throughout the discussions, it was to have more of a comprehensive approach, and it would be year-round lobbying. So it might not necessarily be in Olympia. It could be other places because that's how the council discussion.
Okay. Well, that's good process. Delineation for me then. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for bringing that up.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you, and thank the staff for bringing this all together, and thank the candidates for coming forward. I do appreciate that there was a choice, because when we first put out the RFP, we had one candidate, and so I think it's in everybody's best interest to re-put that out and get more candidates, so I was happy to see that. Obviously, my story was the most, as I think Councilmember Gehring was alluding to, which was his comments earlier. So it really came down for three things, and really when I looked at this, I waited to do the scoring until after both candidates had gone, so I was really comparing you to each other. I took notes and highlighted on each of the questions, but then it was in comparison to each other. It wasn't just how you answered the questions. So when I look at that, and I've done hundreds of interviews and interviewed tons of staff and hired many people over my long career, three things really stood out in the interview process and in the resume. One was the experience. And I heard council up here talking about comprehensive, and you mentioned advocacy locally and helping us with other groups. And really, I feel that's not an absolute need for us in our city. What I think we do well here is communicate with our groups, and we know Monroe. We all live here. We know Monroe. Some of us work and live here. What we need from our lobbyist is someone with the experience of the ins and outs of Olympia. And hands down from the resume, from the presentation, what I got was Armstrong and Associates has 13 years experience in Olympia. He served in leadership positions on capital and transportation, two huge issues for us here. He mentioned at the end of his interview saying, oh, the committees were working, too bad you were gathering, too bad you weren't making this decision because I could be down there advocating in front of the committee. He seemed to know the ins and outs of Olympia, and that's what I feel our needs are, is down there really advocating. When the capital budget, what can we get in, all of that stuff. And my sense from your resume and from your presentation that he had more experience doing that. The other thing is he mentioned very specific dollar amounts of what he received in his lobbying. $3.8 million for this, $4.0 million for this, and that was really important because that showed that there were clear results, and that's something we've talked about as council.
how can we get more money for capital projects? How can we get some things done? So really when I looked at experience with Olympia, he stood out as having a lot more experience with Olympia. The second thing, there were, and I didn't notice the interview of him not looking. I noticed him interviewing, being very personable, was sitting over here. So he looked a couple times at me. I mean, he seemed to be a good job looking down and looking up, seemed very personable. And you want a very personal person, obviously, in a lobbyist. So I didn't catch that. But two other areas. One which I saw as a fairly major faux pas was when we were talking about representatives and how the lobbyist and Mr. Menig mentioned they had a great relationship with the current representatives and how next November, you know, the next representative most likely was going to be John Koster for Elizabeth Scott's seat. That gave me pause because it's a year away. And for lobbyists to be mentioning who thought was going to be the next representative, the job of the lobbyist is to work with whomever, and obviously you guys know this because you do this job, whomever was in there, and to make a prediction a year in advance. To me, the most appropriate response would have been, you know, we're excited to work with whomever comes in there. We work across the aisle. You know, that type of conversation would have been, it was more telling that you mentioned that John Koster most likely was going to be the state representative taking Elizabeth Scott's seat, and I thought that was a mistake. The other thing, the other comment during the interview was when Mr. Wall, you guys both did a great job, Mr. Wall, you come across very well. When I asked that question about if cities disagreed and what would you do if you were had a couple different clients, your response was, well, that never really happened. And then I mentioned Mukilteo and against Painfield, and we were supportive of that. So I just thought there's maybe a lessening of our a little bit not understanding that there's going to be situations like that, and how would you respond to that? So that was a little bit of a warning sign for me. So really coming down to what I feel we need is really experience in Olympia, the ins and outs, when committees meet, who to talk to. And by Mr. Armstrong's interview, his resume, that stood out for me. So I will be voting no on this motion. That's who I would choose as our lobbyist. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Again, thank you to both candidates for coming. Had the pleasure of doing my notes and my scoring from the audio. It's different. It is very different. And, you know, I was glad I was able to do it that way, simply just because it gave me a little different sense and perspective of the interview. Of course, I couldn't see if there was eye contact or not, but, you know, the tone, you know, you focus on the tone. And, you know, ultimately what it comes down to me, I mean, two things is, you know, I come from a relationship background, you know, my previous career in banking and now in nonprofit, you know, it's about relationships. And, you know, and as I'm sitting there listening to both candidates and their qualifications and expectations, in the back of my mind, I'm sitting there constantly thinking, as a council member, as a elected official, who can I have a relationship with? Who can I bond with that I know is going to represent me? And ultimately, that came down to Armstrong, you know, that I felt more comfortable having that relationship with, that I knew I could go to and say, you know, these are the needs of our city. These are what we're looking for, and trust that this is going to carry through. And just, again, the tone come off a lot more personable. No disrespect, but less of a sales pitch that I felt that I was getting, or I was hearing from Green Light's presentation. So that was huge for me. You know, the other piece I I like about Armstrong is, you know, and again, this comes from my, you know, banking background, that when you go to solicit a business, I mean, you come in to build that relationship, or you come in with your army. And I felt that we were presented from Greenlight with an army. Stuff, good or bad. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. To me, again, I want that relationship, and I can have that relationship with the one person. I know that they're going to do the entire job, and the entire job well. And I know I can go to that one person, you know, and trust that they have the resources, that there's not something that they can effectively accomplish by themselves, they're going to have the resources to do it. Yeah. As opposed to, oh, let me introduce you to 3-10 other people. So, and so those were the two big things, and that's why I gave Armstrong the edge on it, simply because of my ability to, or feel that I could have a relationship working with Armstrong more so than Greenlight. But then also, it's not always a bad thing having being one person, whereas, you know, Greenlight put it, one man show. And frankly, there were, in all due respect, Councilmember Gehring, there were pop shots on both sides. Listen to the audio. So, very subtle, yes, but there were shots on both sides, and it's part of the process. So, but anyway, those are my thoughts on it. But I, again, will be voting not in favor of this motion, as I do support Armstrong.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Unfortunately, I wasn't here for the first part of the interview part. I did catch the last, maybe a little more than half of Mr. Armstrong. And I got to listen to it too, and I understand what you're saying. You know, it's a different perspective, and I'm glad I got to do that too. But I wish I'd been here for the first half. I really do. I'm sorry I missed that. Unfortunately, it's beyond my control. I tried. But when I did score this, I tried to be as focused on the person that was speaking, and then I scored them without looking at the total scores, totaled them up later. And I have to agree with everybody up here. Everybody's made some excellent points. And correct what I will deem them correct. Correct statements about both of these groups. I think there's a lot of experience, and in both, I think there's a lot of talent in both. And you can see by my total score, the way it came out, virtually tied. I wish we could hire both of them. I think if we had them both working down there, we would just knock them out. But unfortunately, we can only hire one at a time. So, I'm at a place where I'm basically looking at both of them equally, and I've got to decide one or the other. So, what is it that's going to tip the scale for one or the other? Basically, for me, that thing, that scale tipping point, is the people that are closest to us and know us best. And I think with that, they'll be more of a year-round and more comprehensive in how they deal with things. So. I'll be voting in favor of Greenlight.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I forgot one. There was actually four reasons, not three. One more. I heard everybody else, all the council members up here, say that both could do a good job and both were comparable, and if they could choose both, they would. I think the one thing that wasn't mentioned here was cost. And if you look at the cost, it's $1,000 difference per month. from what I read, which is pretty significant. So that's something to consider. Is green, I've heard almost everyone up here say both are experienced, both could do the job. And so I think another factor we need to consider is cost, which Greenlight Strategies is $1,000 more a month than Armstrong and Associates. So that is something that swayed me also to the others, you know, to pick Armstrong based on the experience, the cost, all of that. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, thank you. That was actually something that in the interview process when they first applied in committee, we looked at that. And I pointed out on my notes at the time that it is $1,000 more, but they're capped at $400 a month in incidentals, whereas Armstrong is not capped at all. There's a $250 expenses has to be approved if it's exceeding 250, but they could easily go through $1,000 in expenses without checks and balances.
Has to be approved in writing before.
Only if it's over 250. Yeah. So you could do $249 worth of expenses for a long time without getting it approved. So that's just something I noted when I looked at the application.
Thank you. All right, anything further? Okay, there's a Councilmember Cutaback.
Well, just to respond to that, because the way I read Greenlight Strategies, it's $400 not to exceed that. Doesn't mean he's going to have 250 every month. It's just that if it does go over 250, it has to be approved prior, which gives us more oversight to that difference between the 400 and the 150. So this gives us more oversight. He's capped at 250 unless we approve it. Greenlight Strategies can go to 400. So to me, the cost definitely goes in the favor of Armstrong and Associates. It's something as we look at budget and we're looking at taking things out of contingency plans, our contingency fund to pay for things, I think cost, to be good stewards and doing our due diligence. Now, again, I heard from everyone up here saying they could both do the job. They both have experience, and they'll both be an asset. Boy, if we could hire both of them. Now we look at cost, and when you have someone conceivably being $1,150 more a month than the other candidate who can do the job, I think that's something we need to consider, because if we choose the more expensive candidate, while we say they're pretty equal and they can both do the job, I wonder if residents would come back and say, you know, doesn't quite make sense to me to choose the more expensive candidate if they're both equal and they can both do the job.
Can I just clarify?
Yeah, okay.
So, and actually, the wording is for Armstrong, all expenses which exceed $25 shall be documented by the consultant. Mm-hmm. And then, any expense exceeding $250 shall be reimbursable only if approved in writing prior to being incurred by consultant.
Sure.
So there's no cap. There's only a cap on a single expense.
There's a cap when we say after 250 we're done. He has to get that approved in writing by us before.
On a single expense.
Before we agree to that expense. So it is a better deal for the city financially.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I just want to clarify one point. When I did the score sheet, I was looking at it in terms of just an Olympia lobbyist. My expectations for Greenlight, if they are selected, based on the information they continued to send us through the whole process, is much higher. I expect a lot of information, a lot of work with county government, a lot of work with every resource that will help Monroe get what it needs to essentially become the center point for East Snohomish County, which has always been my goal. Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further? Okay, seeing none, we do have a first and a second for a motion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Who are the voting against? Okay, motion passes 4-3 with Councilmembers Cuddeback, Rasmussen, and Gamble voting against. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business item number one. This is AB 15213, ordinance number 019-2015-2016, budget adoption for first reading. Ms. Nelson.
Don't really have a lot to say. We had the budget presentations in October, the public hearings in November. The final budget before you, the only difference from the preliminary budget presented is the TBD, Transportation Benefit District, has been taken out because council said they wanted to keep it as a separate jurisdiction, and it already has, its budget has been adopted, so it's been taken out of the city's preliminary budget. And there was an update on the salary matrix on page 38 or 32, but it has no bearing on the actual dollar amounts being paid to the employees, which are already in the budget. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Council? Councilmember Hanford?
I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 019-2015, adopting the budget for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2016.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember was it Camp?
Appreciate all your work. Again,
always.
Every year we say this, but we don't take it for granted. So.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's very much your team.
Well, we appreciate the team.
Thank you. Councilmember Gearing?
Thank you. Diane, just a quick question on the chart there, page 3, where you have the different funds listed. Beginning fund, revenues, expenditures, certificate ending, and unsigned pending. So for contingency fund, you're saying on January 1st, we'll have 507 or 58, is that correct? Am I just reading right? This beginning fund balance.
I'm sorry. On which page are you?
It's page 3 of all the pages. Page 2 of 3. I'm sorry, page 2 of 3 of the ordinance. Page 3 of 40 of the agenda. It's the chart.
I was looking, I was like, where is
it? Of the actual.
Within the ordinance itself.
Yeah, the 507, 458 beginning fund balance? Yeah.
Yes, that's the one. So you say January 1st, that's what we have. And then you're saying on December 31st of 2016, we'll have 438, 458. Is that
correct?
Very good. That was my question.
Yes.
That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
I have a few questions, Diane.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry.
On page 8, where we have the chart, so when I see under the mayor, it says 112.7 FTEs. Is that, what is that? Is that the whole city, or is it, that's the whole city that's under, yeah, but it's, because you have listed down here, but it's everything all
yeah,
together.
Yeah, because you added everyone up, yeah.
Okay, just wanted to know that. On, so it's page 11, so it's page 18 of the 40. When you look at the contingency fund, I had a question, and Councilman Gearin brought it up. The beginning balance is 507.
Yeah.
You have on here, on page 11, that the year-end estimated balance will be 414.
I have, where is the next 414?
So it's on page 11 or page 18 of 40.
That's actually the beginning fund balance.
That's the beginning fund balance of 2015. And then you
right.
go down to the bottom of it of 2014 and you'll see it ends at 507.
Right. So I know we're going to do a budget amendment in after this.
Yes.
And that reduces that 120.
It will.
Okay. So that didn't mesh in this?
Yeah, the budget amendment that we're doing, that's I'm going to talk about that.
Okay. Because yeah. I was going through this, and then I went through the budget amendment, and I went back to this. And so that ending fund balance for contingency is not going to be this number that's in the...
It will be $180,000 less.
Less. Okay. I wanted to make sure that added up.
It's kind of backwards because we're doing 2016 first.
I know, but I wanted to make sure I had the numbers right because that's not starting out at the 507
yep.
or the... It's going down 180 from there.
Yep.
So the other question... question I had. It was about the court, the municipal court.
Yeah.
And looking at that, I know the chief isn't here, and it's on page 13 or page 20 of 40. So it looks like the court, if you look at the fines and the revenue versus the expenditures, looks like that loses, you know, just under $100,000 a year.
Right.
So, and that looks like that is going to continue in 2016.
Correct.
So I know that when we looked at the court, it wasn't looked at that it would be losing $100,000 a year. So, and what might not be showing is here is where we're saving money elsewhere, and that was my question is...
We are saving some money. It still is costing us money right now to do the court. The hope is that in a few years it will flush out. But right now, no, you're right. It still is costing us money. Where it is saving us money
is if
you go to the police department in, I don't know which page it is. I have 2440.
It's 2440 or page 17.
Okay, and then down at the bottom of the police department, see where it says jail, district court, and dispatch? That first line, the court filing fees, under 2014, you can see we spent $98,000 on it. And then in 15 and 16, we spent zero because we're no longer used. That's what we would pay the district court.
Okay, so we're losing a little bit of money, but it looks like it's only $20,000 or $30,000 versus the whole hundred.
Correct.
Okay, so thank you for answering that. That was one of my questions.
No problem.
Under the general capital improvement projects, and that's page 22 or page 29 to 40. It's easier for me to kind of print the, I'm old school, print this out, and that way I can write notes on it. But we have under expenditures the city campus shop design, $100,000 that we're budgeting for 2016. So just remind me, and I know it has to do with this city campus and City Hall.
This approved city campus plan, this is the next step. We have been slowly doing it.
Sure.
The fuel pump station we did, and we've been doing it. And the next step is the shop design. And what it is it will cost $100,000 to do the entire plans for the new shop. Where the shop is now will not be. It's going to... I should probably give you an update on the municipal plan because it's been a few years since council's probably looked at it. But where is the shop going?
Well, it's going back. The current plan goes back farther. Basically, it's the newer the existing shops end. Basically, it's further south from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my question: this is designed for that. Or
yes.
The shop. This is just the design.
All the design work. Yes.
Yes.
So, what's the timeline to implement that or to do it?
2016 is hopefully.
The design is 2016.
Current budget is designed in 2016. There is no current date for that because there is no funding source.
That was my concern because you know how projects go sometimes with construction. You do a design, and then if you don't have a plan of when you're going to construct 5 years, 6 years down the road, that design might be worthless. I mean, it might be not up to... That's all. Looking at $100,000 design, if we don't have a funding source or a plan to do it, is it worth the investment to do the design next year? That is just a question because things change. You have to update the design. You might have to redo a design. If we don't have a plan of when that happened, and when we're looking at, you know, usually when you bring construction, we have design. We have 2 years later construction. Brad does a great job bringing that forward. This was just a question for me. Do we want to make that investment? $100,000 into the design, not knowing if that design is going to be valid if we don't know when the work is going to be done.
And Mr. Brazel?
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, if I can answer that.
Yeah.
That's part of the deliberations and discussions we're going to have in January as we look at the budget and overall. The campus plan is something we've been talking about. The funding for the shop would be part of that discussion. So the reason we have this list in the budget is should council make the decision in 2016 to move forward, it's already in the budget. They can also make the decision not to move forward, but at least it's in the budget.
Okay.
And any final decisions, of course, would come to council.
Okay. I just want to make sure that, because I would hate to spend money and then have it be, we don't have a timeline.
You're absolutely
that,
right.
My next question has to do with the North Kelsey Development Fund, and that's on page 25, which is 32 of 40. And in that, we have a budget in 2016 of a capital construction project of $720,000. Is that the retention? What is that?
I believe that was to fill in the lot to make it sellable.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that was...
You'll fill.
No, this is the stormwater pond.
Right.
So this will be filling in the stormwater pond.
It's what we're hoping for.
If I'm filling that in, maybe Brad can answer this, because at 720 we're budgeting for capital. What are we looking at selling? Do you know what the price would be? We're making quite a big investment in getting that ready to sell.
It's not making a lot of money. It's like $1 million or something like that when we did it. When we worked to you before to decide whether or not to do it.
Yeah.
It was around $1 million. You know, the idea being is that it's ongoing sales tax, revenue,
sure.
Kind of
okay.
Paying property tax, that sort of thing is the reason for doing it.
Okay. And then, next question. When I look at a lot of the sewer fund, water capital improvement funds, there's in the facilities management fund and all that technology information fund, there's a slight increase in the FTEs and all that on all those funds. So are we shifting some employees who we currently have? Because there's not any new FTEs in the general fund that I saw, except for police is one thing for 2016 is what I saw.
Yeah, you're right.
One. But yeah, there's one in police, but all the other funds have, you know, a slight uptick. Are we shifting people around from?
We're hiring two people.
Two people.
Yeah, we're hiring an inspector and a document person.
And that's in the.
They're paid for by water, sewer, storm.
Okay.
Street capital funds.
So and they're just kind of maybe split between them.
All
so we are hiring two FTEs between those funds. That might be it. Yeah. So
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. I'm just happy to get a first
question. Actually, wait, can I?
Yeah, you still got the floor.
So, one of a couple others. Where's the lobbyist house in here?
The lobbyist contract was originally in contingency. So it's still in the contingency fund.
Okay, and that's something that I brought forward and council agreed at the time they can change, where when you read the mayor's budget message, we say one of our objects is to only put one-time expenses in the contingency fund and to plan on reoccurring expenses into our budget. And so with the lobbying firm, I think we intend on continuing that. And so I would prefer not to see that in contingency fund. And I know we talked about it before, so.
Sure. So we'll go ahead and
yield for a comment on that?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, the reason why we left it in the contingency fund, because we all agreed on that point, mm-hmm. but we didn't want to call it out in any budget document, so they would see a budgeted, anybody submitting on the RFP would see a budgeted amount that they could just immediately go for.
That was
strategic to leave it in the contingency fund.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you're right. You had requested that it be moved out of the contingency fund, and the conversation was to have it come out of fund balance. So we will make.
But in all due respect, Mayor.
Yeah.
I we specifically had that conversation.
I thought it
and
was.
I specifically made that request.
I thought it was for the supplemental appropriation.
No, I specifically made the request that we shouldn't put it as a line item budget item in the budget because we were going through an RFP process and it makes no sense to put the total dollar amount basically advertised in the budget. This is what we're willing to put.
And we did do that and we did have it under professional services.
Yeah.
We did. But then when we were trying to balance the general fund, we did originally. And then when we were trying to balance the general fund budget, the mayor said he wanted our operating revenues to be, expenditures to be less than our operating revenues. And so to balance it, we had to shove it off to the contingency fund. And then, yeah, Patsy, you said that presentation you wanted, you felt it should be operating.
I
did not pick up that it was a... I thought it was a single council member request. I did not pick up that it was the consensus.
I completely understand that, and I hear what you're saying, but I just want to make sure that we're not using the contingency fund for ongoing operational expenses. We're going to see it reduced to $180,000. It's going to be proposed to us tonight. That's something that concerns me that we go that direction, but I don't know how we handle putting it as a line item when it's something as a placeholder, so I get that.
Yeah, I recall a full policy discussion. I mean, us going into it and everybody agreeing that it would be a reoccurring charge, and we absolutely wanted it called out, but we strategically did not want it
broadcast
and, you know, but published in these the first iterations of the documents because we were going through an RFP.
Well, and now that we have chosen
it makes total sense.
Lobbying an amount, and we know what the amount is going to be per their, it still needs to be negotiated per their proposal. That was nice, and we have a couple weeks to do this.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'm sorry, I remembered the conversation from June when we were doing the supplemental budget appropriation. Didn't remember the conversation from October on not wanting to have a precise number. But staff will move it to have it come out of the ending fund balance then. I did understand that from our conversation back in October when the budget documents were presented. And we'll go ahead and we'll move it to come out of ending fund balance, not a problem. And my apologies for not remembering things from October, clearly.
I
remember the conversation from June, and I am forgetting the conversation from October, and I am sorry about that. So
no, it's okay. It was, I think, we went through the RFP process twice. We had two conversations on it. It was when we went through the second time, we had two competing. That's when we had that conversation. Well, this doesn't make sense. We shouldn't broadcast when we're getting a budget.
Exactly.
They'll both come in with the same amount.
Exactly.
That's good. I forgot to mention this, on page 18, 25 of 40, under the Parks and Rec Department, it looks like their FTEs are going down, but their salaries are going up. If you look at salaries under expenditures, they're going up.
We reallocated the parks salaries, the parks FTEs. In looking at the work plan, it looked like more of them were going to be, they were going to be doing more work on park CIP projects. So the employee, the FTE distribution was put more into park CIP than general operating. But the increase is just due to cost increase, the salaries going up.
So even though we're allocating people differently, the salaries are still going up about $70,000.
Because we have less staff than we used to have in the Parks Department, we now have more seasonals. And that's directly to the general fund. Yeah.
And that's 7
seasonals don't count in the FTE count.
Yeah, it just seems odd when you have your salaries going up 71 and your FTEs are actually going down.
Yeah.
So, and then my last question is, the downtown money, the money that's allocated for revitalization downtown, where is that in here?
Contingency.
So that's coming out of contingency.
Correct.
We had talked about that.
Right.
But that's contingency.
Okay. Right. Both the lobbyist contract and the downtown were both new programs. And the thought for me on those was to put them into contingency. because, you know, for them to continue beyond another year, their new programs, are the things that we want to continue in a second year. The Main Street program is under contingency for that purpose. I see it as being a 1 year. Maybe there will be a second year, but I don't see it as being an ongoing cost right now. So that's why it's in contingency, and that's also one of the reasons why we had put the lobbyist contract under contingency.
Yeah, I
just
didn't. It's hard to see. I don't think I saw itemized in
there.
Can you? That is. 1840, where you see the contingency fund on the very right hand side.
I'm gonna start calling you Clear Cut with all that paper.
I know, but I can't. Like I said, I'm old.
I can show. Do you want to see on the
No, screen? I see here.
Oh, okay. On the very right.
Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you'll see the mini grants.
Yep.
So what will change? Lobbying will come out, the mini grants will stay in, and the the lobbyists will be shifted, mini grants are in the contingency, and then the Main Street program.
And it looks like the lobbying under there does not cover what the proposal says.
Was it 36?
32. What's in the budget?
It's what's in the budget.
Correct.
That is it. Thank you for answering all those questions.
It's so on the...
One more. No.
Next week, when we bring the final budget, I'll change the documents and I've moved the lobbying to the general fund.
Yes.
No other changes.
We may need to... Are we going to need to change the lobbyist contract appropriation also?
We probably will. When we first went through this, we had monies in this year's budget, and that was where my thought process was, that we were going to be able to afford what was in the proposal, but Mayor's right, that this needs to be adjusted.
Yeah. And Diane, the contingency funding balance based on the budget amendment.
I can change that as well.
That can be changed. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I'd like to make a motion to accept this first reading ordinance number 019-2015, adopting budget for the
fiscal... Point of order, Mr. Mayor. I believe we have one.
I think I made it.
Oh, we have a motion on the floor?
Well, second.
I think there was.
I think there was a second on it, too.
I must have been in
there
the
restroom.
There
was a second.
Is that the restroom?
You found a place. There was my question.
Okay, I actually stepped out to use the restroom.
So the first and the second were Hanford and Camp.
Yeah.
And then we had discussion on the motion. And is there any further discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing that there's no other discussion on the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go on to the next item under new business. This is new business item number 2. This is AB 15214, ordinance number 020-2015. This is the 2015 budget amendment for first reading. Diane.
Okay. Towards the end of the year, we see how things shake out versus how we planned for them to shake out. And since with governments, budgets are a legal document, which means that we cannot, the appropriations have to be equal or less than what the budget says. So we do a year amendment in hopes to keep ourselves in compliance. The big changes are in the general fund. Public defender legal fees are increasing by $60,000. The comp plan update is increasing by $110,000. I just want to point out the contract itself with the consultant is still within the original contract parameters. It's the timing of when the payments are being made. We're trying to predict when they're going to bill for what. And so that's what the 110 increases. And legal costs for the East Monroe rezone are being increased by $30,000. And so that means $180,000 is needed to cover those expenditures. And so we're going to the contingency fund since we don't have any undesignated fund balance in the general fund. We just have the emergency fund. And these expenses do not qualify for the emergency fund. The street fund is increasing expenditures by $27,000 for the pavement conditional rating survey, and there's also going to increase appropriations by $10,000 for striping and some pavement markings, and there is adequate fund balance in this fund to cover those increased appropriations. Street impact fees used to go into the transportation concurrency fund. We put them in there, and then we do an interfund transfer over to the street CIP fund to spend the money. Seemed like a lot of busy work, artificially inflates the overall budget, so we're killing the transportation concurrency fund and just going to receive the impact fees and track them in the street CIP fund rather than doing this these shenanigans busy work. And so in order to get the last bit out of that fund and close it out, we're increasing the transfers by $300,000, appropriating so that that'll be enough. There's less than $300,000 left in the fund, but there's more than what we're appropriating right now, so that's to be able to zero out that fund. And also $10,000 appropriated in the solid waste fund for the customer consultant fees for the customer satisfaction survey, and there is adequate fund balance in the solid waste fund to cover that cost. And so those are the changes that we're making to the 2015 budget for year end.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I'd like to make a motion to accept as first reading ordinance number 020-2015, amending the budget for the fiscal year 2015 to account for new revenues and expenditures, providing severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Unless you already did that one too, Councilmember.
No.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Gehring. On the motion. Councilmember Cutterback.
Diane, our contingency fund goes down to the 327,058 after the 180 is out, and I just want to highlight to council another $30,000 spent on legal fees for East Monroe Rezone. Can't let that go by me. And I didn't see in the budget, I thought I saw in the 2016 budget that we didn't have a plan to put money back into the contingency fund. We made a decision not to.
That's correct.
Refund that. So just that that's going to be at 327. And moving forward in 2016, do we have any type of padding? Or I didn't look at the legal fees, but that seems to be an area, depending on the year, where we have overages. So I don't know if that's something. I think we budgeted for a slight increase for next year, but
you're correct.
I hate to come back and do another budget amendment at the end of next year for reducing this fund even more so. So
you're correct. There was a slight increase for legal fees. We'll be part of the January discussion is overall budget, where we're at, where we see the city needing to go. That'll be part of that discussion. That's critical to have in the first. First quarter, let's say, get our hand around where we're at.
Anything further? Okay. All right. We have a motion on the table to approve as first reading, and a second, and no further discussion on the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. The next item that we have up is new business item number 3. This is AB 15215, ordinances 2015-2035, comprehensive plan adoption for first reading. Mr. Osaki.
Mayor, members of the council, actually, I may need a little bit of help here. Would the council do first reading while the public hearing is still open?
Sure. Yes. I think so.
I'm not aware of any legal prohibition against that, but my understanding from the flavor of the council's discussion was that they wanted to have the public hearing first. I don't remember a specific direction on going forward with the ordinances tonight, but there's no legal prohibition that I'm aware of to that effect.
Okay. Correct. Right. They continued the public testimony. and they're now presented with two ordinances. Per the bylaws, they would do a first reading, or consider a first reading, and then the following week they would consider a second and final reading. And so the fact that they kept open the public hearing for public testimony next week, does that preclude them from doing a first reading tonight?
I don't believe so, Mr. Mayor. I'm not aware of anything that would prohibit that.
Okay. Well, if, given that, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as presented during the course of the public hearing, there are two ordinances before the City Council, which we were provided tonight. Ordinance 021-2015, again, adopts the... Well, the first reading would, if passed, eventually adopt the entire comprehensive plan. Ordinance 022-2015 does the housekeeping amendments reflecting the council direction on East Monroe that was taken action last week on the comprehensive plan amendment and the rezone. In this case, it's specific to the comprehensive plan amendment dealing with those three particular items that I mentioned during the course of the presentation. So that concludes the presentation. If you have to answer any questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 021-2015, replacing the 2005 to 2025 City of Monroe Comprehensive Plan by adopting the 2015 to 2035 Comprehensive Plan in compliance with the requirements of the Washington State Growth Management Act, GMA, pursuant to RCW 36.708.130. Affirming the city's compliance with RCW 36.708.130, authorizing the mayor to make non-substantive edits to the 2015 to 2035 comprehensive plan following adoption, adopting supportive findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Hanford.
Okay, I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 002-2015, supplementing and updating the future land use map and associated components of the city's 2015 to 2035 comprehensive plan, including figure 3.05, figure 2.03, and table 3.07, in order to accurately reflect and acknowledge the city's recent reclassification of the East Monroe area from limited open space to general commercial pursuant to ordinance number 015-2015, expressly acknowledging the SEPA review completed with respect to said reclassification, adopting supportive findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gehring. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Cutaback.
I will not be voting in favor of the motion. I don't believe that the city's recent reclassification of East Monroe area from limited open space to general commercial was the appropriate action. Therefore, I don't think figure 3.0 and figure 2.3 or 2.03 and table 3.07 need to be updated. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Councilmember Gamble.
I will be voting in favor of both of these, even though I was in the voting minority throughout over the last several years. I was in the voting minority. The action was taken, and I do want it to reflect accurately in the comprehensive plan, even though that's not what I want, but I want it to reflect.
Thank you. Any other? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Just for the record, I will be voting against this as well, simply to maintain my consistency with East Monroe and his comments on it. So.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 5-2 with Councilmembers Cutaback and Rasmussen voting against. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business item number 3. This is AB 215 ordinances 2015-2035 comprehensive plan adoption for first reading. Yeah, we did. Okay. So we've already taken care of that one. We're now going to move on to final action item number one. Before I do this, Councilmember Cutterback?
No, I was going to make a motion.
Okay. So this is final action number one, AB 15216, ordinance number 017, 2015, amending MMC 1304, water regulations, and MMC 1308, sewer regulations, final reading. Councilmember Cutterback?
Yes, I will make a motion. Let me get to it. Go ahead and read it.
Wait, use your stack of paper.
Hey, I can't wait till December 20th. So I will make a motion to adopt ordinance number 0172015, amending Monroe Municipal Code, Chapter 13.04, Water Regulation, Rates and Charges, and Chapter 13.08. Sewer system regulations, modifying the utility rate structure, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item is final action number two. This is AB 15217, ordinance number 018-2015, amending MMC 2012, transportation impact fees for final reading. I do see that Councilmember Camp has already pushed his button. There is a substitute ordinance and a motion for the substitute ordinance. I would encourage Council to go ahead and we'll have Mr. Feilberg give a presentation on that. Councilmember Camp, if it's your intent to make a motion, there's a sheet of paper for you. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. Following Ms. Councilmember Gamble's comments last week about the accessory dwelling units, which you said the $500 charge is gone, yes it is, because an accessory dwelling unit with the current ordinance will be charged the $3,499. So, keeping with your intent of that, there's a substitute ordinance in front of you that actually makes the exception that is also in the previous one, the water and sewer utility fees, that exempts accessory dwelling units as permitted by Title 18 of the Monroe Municipal Code, so that they are exempt from paying the transportation impact fees.
Thank you. Thank you. And I believe Councilmember Gamble's light is on. Councilmember Gamble.
I appreciate that because that's not at all how I read that rate schedule.
Okay. So
thank you for spelling that out.
Yeah.
I will make a motion for substitute ordinance 018-2015. I move to adopt amending Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 20.12, Transportation Impact Fees, updating and revising the city's methodology, rate structure, and scheduling for imposing transportation impact fees upon certain development activity, affecting various housekeeping amendments, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. Had a great time at the light up in Monroe on Saturday night. It was a lot of fun. And, had my youngest with me and really enjoyed the snow machine, although it was it was actually soap bubbles and it didn't taste very good. But, you know, she had to make an attempt at being someplace. So, so great time, just a fun community thing, lots of people there, and it's nice to have a permanent tree, so that's cool that was set up. It's a fun time, a great way to rain in the season. Also, this is the only week that I rig into the Seahawks, being a Minnesota Vikings fan. They are in the Seahawks this week, so go Vikings and go Hawks every other week. So, there you have it. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Jeez. Benedict Arnold. No, it was great. Thanksgiving week. Always good to take time, stop, reflect, pause. Appreciate family, and it was also great to appreciate a severe thrashing of the cross-state rival, 45-10. No, it was a great game. It's always a fun. We go to it every time it's here, and we have a group of tailgate that are both Huskies and Cougars. You know, a lot of split houses throughout, and it's just it's a great time. A lot of poking, ribbing, and jabbing, but a lot of fun across the board. Also ended the 89ers season. I know we talked about it, that the Monroe youth football team 89ers won the back-to-back championships. They had their a party here on Sunday, and I can see that the official paper of the city of Monroe published a nice picture of the team with the trophy right after they had won the game about a month ago, I think it was. So anyway, that was great, and now we're moving on to basketball season and just kind of on to the next.
Thank you.
Yep.
Councilmember Davis.
Had a great Thanksgiving. Really enjoyable time with the family. We had much to be thankful for this year. And made the tree lighting, which was very cold. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of people did show up, and that was great to see. And I'm glad that a little bit warmer weather's coming our way. So that's it for me.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thanks. Good time at the tree light. It was a lot of fun. I was the groupie for the quartets and choruses over there. That was a lot of work. And that's about it. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Tree lighting, yes, absolutely. Great time. Always fun going down there. And downtown looks amazing tonight. I can't say that enough. So, Thanksgiving was great. Being able to spend time with the family, take some time off. Unfortunately, it kicked off sixth season for us, but good there. And, you know, say Giving Tuesday falls after Black Friday, Cyber Monday, so I think everyone's got 2 hours left if they want to support local organizations. But don't have to stop here today either, so that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing tonight. Thanks.
Councilmember Hanford.
Had a great Thanksgiving. Had a great time with my two college kids home. Just a great weekend. Out down family. So, tree lighting, made it for that. It's good. I was this close to bursting out into wish you a Merry Christmas right after the tree lit. But in hindsight, I should have done it. But it was a good time. It was kind of fun to sing down there a little bit. Yeah. Maybe next year we can talk Councilmember Gamble into joining me, and we'll sing some carols or something.
Sounds like a plan.
Anyway, that's it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Staff.
That's for you.
Hey, Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. But yes, I was there at the tree lighting event as well, and just some thoughts. I just want to pass on to you some comments from me that, you know, we're with the Chamber. We support the Chamber of Commerce. They're leading that event. And I know the Monroe, the Downtown Monroe Association, you know, with all the wonderful things that they mentioned earlier tonight, they've done with lighting and whatnot, and they're, you know, working with the Chamber. And so anyways, moving forward next year, definitely we'll work with not only the Chamber on supporting that event, but also with the Downtown Monroe Association. I know there's some feedback that we got as far as things that we can improve on. We always want to be able to improve, you know, in the community. So I just want you to know that I'm aware of that, and we'll be supporting that from the city's point of view on that as well. The other thing I want to mention is that our crew has been working and will continue to work on flood repairs at the parks. So we've reopened the road at El Borland. They're working on the trails today. I believe they might have reopened it this afternoon. If not, it will be open, all the trails at El Borland, tomorrow. All the pathways at Sky River Park have been cleaned. Need to do some more work around the ball field facilities, and also then start working at the Woody Field area. So that's kind of where we are at this point.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ms. Nelson. Thank you. Mr. Osaki.
At last week's council meeting, when you were looking at the extended agenda, there was a people on final flat approval scheduled for the 15th. And the council asked for some information as early as possible about that. And if you were so inclined, to help you make a decision, if you're so inclined to waive second reading, just pass it that evening. So we'll send that out to you electronically tomorrow.
Okay. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Heron.
Thanks. And we've done that before to be good for good customer service, specifically in this exact same situation with someone else to do that. So if it's kosher to do it, then let's be good customer service.
Thank you. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. We've
been informed that we've been awarded a grant from the Transportation Improvement Board for their urban arterial preservation program in the amount of $401,030.
$403.
And we'll be using that with the Transportation Benefit District, so we're leveraging $70,000 in the Transportation Benefit District, doing $470,000 worth of road rehabilitation. And that will be Chain Lake Road from North Kelsey to Country Crescent, 2,600 feet, and then also 700 feet on Farmers Boulevard from 152nd to 154th on just one half the southbound lanes, I do believe it is. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Anything further?
No, that's it.
Okay. Is that already in the 2016 proposed appropriation? Since that's new money, do we need to add that in?
We will have to change that.
Okay. Why don't we add that to the list of things that'll come back for second reading with a change? Since we just got another $400,000+. Yay! And we can fold it in at this time. All right, and come on up here. So we, because of the cold weather and everything, we've had a couple of comments about slick conditions on the sidewalks in downtown, and I became aware of them through social media. Staff has put together a flyer about the do's and don'ts about porous sidewalks. As you all are aware, you know, at home, you're responsible for maintaining the sidewalk in front of your house and maintaining the planter strip, you know, mowing and things like that. So if it snows, you go out and shovel your sidewalk, or you put down sand or whatever for ice if that's something you want to do. The same thing applies in the downtown. The city doesn't maintain the sidewalks. It's always been there where the shop owner would come out and take care of the ice, the snow, and everything on the sidewalk, just like we do at home and just like businesses do up at the Lake Tide building. So that's one thing to be said, is that the downtown businesses would be responsible for doing that. And the second part of the question is, because there are porous sidewalks, the question on social media was, well, what can we do? And so just a couple of things that are different than regular sidewalks. One, we don't put sand in the porous concrete because that blocks up the porousness, the porosity of the concrete. And the other thing is, we do not recommend using magnesium-based
products for de-icers.
Yeah. Right. And
calcium chloride, potassium chloride, and magnesium chloride. So don't use the magnesium one.
Don't use magnesium. Okay. And so what we're going to be doing is, we'll put out on social media that, hey, this is what we do. We'll put it in Monroe this week, and we'll also find a way to get flyers to the downtown businesses so that they're aware that, hey, this is what you can put on the sidewalks and what you can't put on the sidewalks. And there you go. So we have that on the weather. It seems like I had another thing on the weather.
I just had a question about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if there's empty businesses, because you said business owners, I assume it would be the owner of the building that would take care of those.
So
we might want to get that information to them also.
Yep.
That's just business owners.
Good point.
Thank you. Seems like there was another weather-related thing that... Huh?
Just periodic table.
Did you want to go ahead and... Go ahead. Okay. It'll probably come to me a little bit later. Okay, and so last week did the tree lighting ceremony. Oh, that was the other thing. We had received comments from a business owner in the downtown that was sharing what they had been hearing from their customers over Saturday, just some concerns about there not being as much activity in the downtown that was advertised as it had been in the past, and the tree lighting being at Travelers Park as opposed to being in the downtown. And so that was one of the things that Mike was mentioning. I forwarded those comments to him, and we'll be working with our partners in the downtown in early 2016 about how to best get that back to sort of how it was a couple years ago when you had a lot of things going on in the downtown. So we could still do the tree lighting at Travelers, but we probably would have another tree in the downtown somewhere that would be where we do the formal lighting. And I think that's it for me. Gene.
Ready to roll on to the draft agenda for December 8th, 2015. Under announcements and presentations, we have the recognition of service for city boards and commissions. And we have a confirmation of reappointments for city boards and commissions. Consent agenda. Under unfinished business, which I wrote in here, we'll have H3O back. Under new business, we have authorized mayor to sign interlocal agreement with PUD for attorney place extension.
That's funding package.
And then we have tentatively a 2016 lodging tax advisory committee grant of work. Under final action, we have the H3O second addendum, and that may or may not be voted on that evening, depending on if council agrees with all the proposed changes. And then we have the 2016 budget adoption for final reading, 2015 budget amendment final reading, so 2015 through 2035 comprehensive plan adoption, and then a resolution for amending the fees schedule. Any additions or deletions?
Gene?
Yes.
On the extended agenda, it said 6:30 for the recognition, but on the agenda for next week, you have 7 o'clock.
Is that separate?
There's a reception. The 6:30 is a reception.
Okay, so that is something different.
Correct. It's a reception as opposed to just a recognition of service.
Okay.
So that's, I think we have one board member that has term limited out. I don't even know if the person's a library board member, and so it's just recognizing that service.
Those are two separate things.
They are two separate things, yep.
Thank you.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes, unfortunately, I don't like missing council meetings, and I probably have only missed a handful of them, but next week I have a daughter singing in a choir at Benaroyal Hall, so I have to be there. I will be there.
Yeah.
You trying to trump my Chain Lake concert? Is that what you're trying to do?
She's very excited, and my parents are coming out, and they're very excited.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I will not be here this week. So.
Is anybody missing on December 15th?
I might be. I have to check here.
Okay.
Off to let you know.
So we'll have somebody else do the Pledge of Allegiance for Councilmember Davis on December 8th, and Councilmember Davis will not be in, and then Councilmember Hanford tentatively will be out on December 15th. But we'll just leave it alone for right now. Kevin?
Yeah, you can leave me on for now.
Okay. All right, anything further on the extended agenda? Councilmember Cutaback?
If we are looking at having the first and second reading of the Eaglemont, can we put that on the agenda on December 15th just to give people a heads up that we're going to do a first and second on that night?
So we can, the question is, can we presuppose that they're going to do a first and final reading?
As long as you're not purporting to bind the council, that way make it clear on the meeting notice and agenda that that's an action the council may
could take.
Yeah.
Right. Just to give people notice in that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll note the agenda or other notice in such a way that it's clear that council may take final action on December 15th. Yep. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. So if that is the case, I mean, is there a need to have a December 22nd meeting? Because it looks like we've got recognition of service and elected officials and swearing in newly elected officials, and we set for the 15th as well.
Correct, right. We would do one or the other.
Okay.
So if the 22nd is canceled, the recognition would be on the 15th.
Okay. So when do we have to cancel for proper notice?
Next week. The 8th would be the appropriate time to cancel it.
Any
Councilmember Cutterback?
I'm going to make a motion to cancel the December 22nd, 2015 council meeting.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Garrett.
Thanks. If the motion's next week, then I'm in favor of just maybe something wacky. There may be some reasons to premature to do it just yet. I absolutely agree with the sentiment. I just think we'll have to wait until next week.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so the motion passes 5-2 with Councilmember Camp and Councilmember Gehring voting in opposition. All right. Anything further on the extended agenda? Okay. Council, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Okay, there being no other business of the council this evening, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Campbell, second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Have a great evening. We're adjourned.
Wow. 3 minutes. Yeah.